The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen.
Please be seated.
Good morning. It is such a subtle thing about Christians that you may not have noticed it. It's a teensy weensy, you know, it's the speck in the eye, it's nothing. You've probably never seen this or thought about it before, but sometimes Christians who are taught to be forgiving people can really suck a sore tooth for a long time. It's a little thing. Peter, who had not too long ago denied Christ prior to his execution three times, is now speaking to the people. And in the book of Acts last week, we read him say to the people, "The God of our ancestors had glorified his servant Jesus, whom you handed over to be rejected in the presence of Pilate, though he had decided to release him. But you rejected the holy and righteous one and asked to have a murderer given to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses." But hey, it's water under the bridge. It's nothing. And then this week, in the Acts of the Apostles, we read Peter again saying, "Let it be known to all of you, in the name of the people of Israel, that this man is standing before you in good health by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified and God raised from the dead." But really, it's forgotten. It's all done. You and I have the power to participate in resurrection. We have the power to cause resurrection of anything we want. Unfortunately, our fear usually leads us to resurrect the wounds. Usually our fear causes us to resurrect the slights, the hurts, the hostility, the grievances. And we can carry that for a long time. I know. Because I carry that stuff, as my wife is probably nodding behind me now, for a long time. Sometimes it's little stuff. You remember an insult, a petty argument. You remember something that Somebody said they really shouldn't have. But in the grand scheme of things, in the service of a greater good, you let it go. How much of this stuff can you really carry around with you forever? But I can really remember times when it was nearly impossible for me to let things go. And I mentioned three that just popped right into my mind as I started down the road of thinking about this topic. The first was when Becky and I had been married for a while, and the kids came along, and they were about 18 months old. This is information about our children that even they don't know. Actually, they were less than 18 months, you know, in the a year or less. Our children do not know, so I'm blowing the lid on this in front of them right now. They were actually expelled from school. They were expelled from a daycare center. And it had nothing to do with the note we got from their next daycare center that Nell had threatened to kill the class worm. Instead, the first daycare center, operated by the seminary I attended, expelled our children. And it took us a while to get to the root of why, but it was because she did not like us. And that's really it. She didn't especially like the fact that I was male and I was driving the kids to preschool or to daycare because it was operated out of the seminary I attended every day. She didn't like it that I drove the kids to daycare and my wife didn't. She expected to have daily conversations with the mother, and instead she had a daily conversation with me, and she was not happy about it. And that bothered me so much that as a holier-than-thou seminarian, that was before I became a holier-than-thou rector, as a holier-than-thou seminarian, I remembered that Matthew's gospel says, if you have a grievance against your neighbor, put your gift aside and go be reconciled and then come back. And I took that very literally and very seriously. And for a period of a month or two, I would not take communion in the chapel because I was so angry at this woman for kicking my kids out of the seminary daycare. And she admitted it was just because she didn't like us. And I was right. And she was wrong. And I don't feel it to this day, but I remember it. Because that's what we sometimes do. We carry that stuff for a long time. My wife and I, at the time we were married, hired a contractor to work on our house. And let's just say he messed it up. He went way over budget. We paid the bills. And he still, after building an unsafe house that we had to have retrofitted, he had the temerity to sue us for not paying him more than we agreed to pay for the shoddy work that he had done. And I remember saying to my wife, I'm dumbfounded because I've never had anyone just knowingly hurt us. I mean, I've been hurt before, but I've always assumed that on some level it was accidental or incidental, that it wasn't just because somebody said, I'm going to get you. But this guy did. And I had never experienced that before. And I carried it with me for a long time. Other things in my life have come along where I've been wronged. And I was right, and the other person was wrong. And I have a very hard time letting go of that. For all the reasons that I discussed in the sermon last week and that Roger Douglas discussed in the sermon before. It has to do with the fear that we often carry, even in the face of resurrection. I remember in my last congregation realizing that just because we were in a community full of very stifled former churchgoers, that just because we were doing church right and that we were very welcoming and that we were a great place, that I thought people would come flooding into church. And the fact is that if you really hurt somebody and they leave because of your hurt, they don't want to go get hurt somewhere else. They just don't come back. And I was wrong to think that they would come back to us. I was wrong to imagine that if you take a bunch of sheep and say, I'm opening the pen, I'm opening the gate, you're free, congratulations on your resurrection, that sheep would run around and dance for joy and spill out the gate. No, sheep cower the way the disciples did in the upper room. They cower in fear when the door is opened. Sheep, like Christians, have to be led from fear through forgiveness and to love. In today's epistle from the first letter of John, he writes very plainly, little children, let us love. Not in word or speech, but in truth and action. Sometimes I believe that we soft pedal and we preach a gospel of niceness, where we encourage people implicitly just to be pleasant with each other, to overlook things, pretend it didn't happen. That may be a necessary and sufficient first step for a while, but just letting it go actually is not enough. For people who have affirmatively wronged us and we know we're right, we have to make, as Christians, a conscious decision to love. And not just to feel sentimental love, but to act in love. Little children, let us love, not in word or speech, but in truth and action. That is to say, the love does not just come automatically. As Roger said 2 weeks ago, we have to practice forgiveness again and again and again. And Jesus says to us, I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. That you love one another as God has loved you. That's our command. That is our responsibility. Now, in this season of Eastertide, we're expecting kind of a light load. And the load is light in the sense that the victory is a given. God has won this victory over fear and death already. All we have to do is follow the voice of our Master, that good shepherd right out of the gate, and follow to places that we don't want to go, to forgiveness and love, because, damn it, I am owed something, and I want what's coming to me. But I hope I don't get what's coming to me. I hope I get the forgiveness and the love that Jesus offers us. I was complaining to a friend of mine a while back about a person I know who never misses a chance to speak to me in an unkind way, who never misses a chance to pop my bubble if I'm happy, who never misses a chance to point out every flaw in every decision I've ever made, in everything I've ever said. She takes great joy in letting me know that I'm just not good enough. I was complaining to my friend about this, and he said, what would happen if instead of getting your defenses up when she did this, when you see her, you know she's going to be like this, you know she's going to be coming at you with the dagger, instead of defending yourself against it, what if you opened up? What if you let her plunge that dagger right into your heart and feel it, feel the pain, and love her back for it? That is a hard thing to do. I've tried it. It worked, and it's hard. Well, Willimon asks us of this kind of resurrection love, how is such superhuman effort possible? He writes, well, Christians are those who realize that we were enemies of God, yet God in Christ has loved us. This God not only forgave us in the death and resurrection of Christ, as we often note, but this God actively loved us. God not only put up with us, tolerated us, but came to us and embraced us, believed the best about us, called forth thereby the best in us. This God, therefore, is not only able to love us, but to command us to love with an irresistible command. Time and again, God said to us, if I have loved you, then you also should love others. Martin Smith, the former abbot of the Society of St. John the Evangelist, wrote, often Eastertide is more profoundly about repentance and conversion than Lent is. We can all find sins and shortcomings to work on in Lent, but it is Easter that more starkly exposes the fear of loving and being loved that is at the root of our sin. Dare we engage this free other, this Christ? What if this destroys our comfort, drawing us into action, relationship, community, hope, and the pain and glory of involvement in diversity, conflict, strangeness? We hesitate. In Easter prayer, we are placed in a fateful place of truth. Shall we shut the door out of fear, he asks? Or shall we feel around our shoulders the firm hold of the shepherd's hands as we reply to the question, do you love me? And hear the shepherd's response, feed my sheep. Amen.